Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good and all the time. Yes, he is. We also know that God has called the church with three commands, and they're on the wall: to love God, love others, and go. Because as we commit ourselves to these three commands that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to us, we are committing ourselves to the whole of the Bible, Old and New Testaments, that as we go, we are taking these things in our lives out into the world. We are to live the gospel before all mankind. And that is to love God and love others. And in those things, all of the scripture is summed up. Today, I have a message for you. It's a continuation. Pastor David didn't realize that he was actually giving a continuation when he did his sermon last week, because it's part of what I'm going to talk to you about today. It's just how important your testimony is. Because I want you to think about who we are and what we are, and the reality that there is a war raging all around us, has been since the beginning of time. Because that war is a war against good and evil. And in that war, we need to understand a couple of things. The last time I preached, I told you that we need to be strong and courageous, because God has commanded it of us. However, we also must do something to join him in that reality. And that is, we need to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. Well, what does consecrate mean? When we think about what consecration is, the word consecrate comes from the Latin consecratus, which means to make holy. In a biblical context, it is to consecrate or to set apart someone or something to God's service, making it sacred. We need to understand that this consecration symbolizes purity, devotion, and commitment. It is an act of acknowledging God's sovereignty over our lives for purposes of divine nature. In the Old Testament, the consecration of priests and the temples signified the service that they gave unto the Lord. And as we come to this place of understanding that there is a battle going on, there is a war raging, and we are in the midst of it, you may think, no, I don't think I have a part in that. Yes, you do. Because you're going to be on one side or you're going to be on the other. There are no other directions. You cannot sit on the fence. Have you ever heard the story about the young gentleman who argued with Jesus and Satan? He had a dream. Jesus was on one side of a fence in a beautiful green pasture, and he was calling this young man. Satan was on the other side of the fence in a dark and dreary land where there was no grass. It was all burned up. It was desolate and just a horrible place. And the young man thought about this as the two of them were vying for him. And he says, oh, Jesus, you have so many wonderful and good things. You have things that I really want and need. But Satan, you know, oh, man, there's the things in my life. You know, I like to get drunk every now and then. And I like to, and I like to, and I like to. But Jesus. And he thought for a while, and finally he said, I got it. So he walked over and he sat on the fence. He said, I got Jesus on one side, and I got Satan on the other side. I win. About that time, everything went black. Satan walked up to him and grabbed him by the shoulder. And the young man said, no, 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 I'm on the fence. And Satan looked at him and said, yeah. The fence belongs to me. There are only two sides. And that's where we need to find ourselves. Which side are we going to be on? And I'm going to tell you right now, why consecrate? Because the world will hate you. The world will hate you. Oh, but Pastor, I am such a wonderful person. Nobody hates me. Well, then you're not being effective. Because a person who is accepted by everybody is a lukewarm individual, who's going to swing whichever way. That's fence sitting. You're already destroyed. You just don't realize it. And do you realize there are churches throughout our land that is exactly who they are, what they preach, and what they do? They sit on the fence, they don't choose a side, and they say kumbaya. Uh-uh. Hell is real, and so is God's fury, but also his grace. Can I get an amen, church? Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of John. We're going to be in John 15, because I need us to understand what I'm talking about, the Lord told us about, and we need to understand where we are. We're going to be in the book of John, chapter 15. That's where we're going to start. John chapter 15. And I'm going to read to you verses 18 through 21. We're going to read to 27, but I'm going to read this in portions, and then we're going to come back and look at it. From the 18th verse of the 15th chapter of the book of John, thus saith the word of the Lord. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As I look at these words, it's understanding that the world hates Christ. The world hates truth, because truth is that dividing line that is so narrow, no one can sit on it. You've got to either be on one side of it or the other, because it is a dividing sword. It exposes everything as it is. We understand that as Christians. We know the scripture tells us that the word is a dividing sword, dividing unto the bone and the marrow. And we need to see that in our lives, either we are on the side of Christ or we're not. We are either committed to live the way we are meant to live, or we will die. Now, we know Caroline died, but she did not die unto eternity. She simply died in this temporal being. She's in heaven waiting for the rest of us. And that's a truth that I hold, and I hope every one of you holds, because we know Jesus Christ is our propitiation. He is our payment. And he has told us, where I go to prepare a place for you. How many of you can't wait to get there? Oh man, I cannot wait to see that heavenly mansion that he has in store for me. You know, it's going to be fun getting there, but there's going to be a lot of work to get there. Can I get an amen? And it's not going to be an easy road. This is one of the hardest things I've ever done. People said to me when I was in the machine trades, they said, oh, yeah, you're going to go become a pastor. That's an easy job. Have you dealt with people? It ain't easy, brothers and sisters. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm reminded just how messed up we all are, because I got one messed up looking at me every morning. But yet, I get up. And I go. How much does the world hate us? Not just the world, but the one who is in charge of this world. How many of you remember when I said that we need to be strong and courageous the other week? I was going to get the guys to pull this up from online, but I didn't know if they could, so I'll simply remind you. How many of you remember me saying that we've been delayed for some reason, things just haven't happened, that we could get out on our prayer walks? And I said, this prayer walk, we will be there and I will be there as well, and we're going to go out and we're going to affect this community. Where was Pastor last Sunday? Sick in bed. Sick in bed. I was sick in bed. I was watching Pastor Dave preach, but I was certainly sick in bed. I could barely breathe. My lungs were that full of just junk. He took me down because he thought, if I take out the shepherd, the sheep are going to scatter. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Well, guess what the sheep did? They followed the real shepherd. That man, that Satan, he ain't a man. He's a fallen angel. He's an idiot. He has no idea what the strength of Jesus Christ in the church can do. Can I get an amen? Because it ain't about this old boy that stands up front here and talks to you. It's about the eternal God who loves us all, and he's got us covered. If one of us is down, how many more stand up? Let's look at what just happened with Charlie Kirk. Here's a young man, gave his life. How many young people are standing up right now? How many people went to church for the first time? How many folks started reading their Bibles yet again? How many people are saying, oh my goodness, I started looking at this stuff and he was right. Brothers and sisters, the awakening is happening. And we're in the midst of it. And lest we consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. That means coming out, and knowing we're going to get hated, but coming under the Lord and standing firm to fight this fight. And I'm going to tell you right now, your fight's going to be different than mine. My fight right now is to get my body back into shape. And I'm doing everything I can just to do that. That's why I'm up front here. I thank Miss Susan for giving me a cough drop, because I'll tell you right now, she has helped me. That's helping in the fight. Something as simple as giving a cough drop. Oh my goodness, yes. It doesn't take much. The question is, are you going to give it? Are you and I going to see that God is calling us to do something bigger and beyond ourselves? Because the world's going to hate us. And boy, it's easy just to say, well, if we all just get along. No. No. They want us to shut up. They being the evil in this world. And because of that, they are killing people to scare us, to get us silenced. And enough is enough. Can I get an amen out of this church? Because when we understand if God is for us, who can be against us? We know who is already. But we know he was defeated when Jesus went into the grave and rose up out of it. And to that, may God receive all the glory. And it's also in that that we understand that's why they hate us. Let's read the next couple verses here from 22 through 25. It says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. You see, Jesus did nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. He did not sin. He simply spoke truth. How many of us say we want to know truth? We all want to know, well, what's the truth? What's the truth? Pilate said that, didn't he? What is truth? We know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is the second person of the Trinity. Truth is God Almighty, for it is from him all things are established, and it is unto him all things shall return. Whether we want to believe that or not, I don't care. What I know is truth, and you can't get away from it. How many of you know 1 + 1 = 4? You know, that's what they're teaching our kids. It's relative. It's relative. You know, that's what the Mormons teach us. You know, they try to tell us that Satan and Jesus are brothers. It's relative. No. No. It's not relative. There's truth and there's lie. Just as there is good and there is evil. And as we see these people now and understand, this is why they get so radicalized. You know, they call us radical. What did we do in the midst of struggle? Did we go out and shoot somebody else? Did we take it out on somebody else? Or do we go into our prayer closet and pray? Do we call upon the church to come and strengthen us and to help us get through these things? You see, we're not supposed to do it alone. Each and every one of us needs to understand that we know what sin is because the Holy Spirit has taught us what is right and what is wrong. And in that, we have our being, and we can choose to walk in the way of the light of Jesus Christ. So we need to consecrate ourselves, and then we need to remember that that consecration is going to become our testimony. Her life speaks for what she did and who she is. Notice I didn't say was. And it's going to do the same for us. But Pastor, you know, who am I? Let's read the word from verse 26. It says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, this is amazing because we know Jesus was talking to the apostles. So does that apply to us because we haven't been with him from the beginning? Oh, yes, you were. Before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. He knew each and every one of us before anything was founded. We have been with him since the beginning of time. We have been in his heart, in his mind, and in his will to be created in this time. We live in time. He does not. So have we been with him since the beginning? Yes. Each and every one of us were there when he was nailed to the cross. Each and every one of us was there when he rose up from the grave. And each and every one of us was there when he was seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Can I get an amen out of the church? Amen. We need to remember our life is a testimony. You don't have to speak a word. Because as you live and as you have your being, how many of you realize there's a whole bunch of people out there watching you? And they're checking to see just where you are and what you're going to do. And they're wanting to see you fall. And they're going to. And then they're going to hold on to that stuff and say, well, but see. But you see, that's the awesome part of it because that's to the glory of God. Because then we get to express in our lives our remorse and ask forgiveness and see the glory of the Lord as he restores us yet again. Every man will be without excuse, it says. Because his grace is what? Sufficient unto all mankind. However, it only applies to those who will receive it. So consecrate yourselves this day. Consecrate yourselves. Choose which side you will stand. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Because there is a time coming, and it's here, it's now, that Jesus warns us about. We're going to be in the book of Matthew in the 24th chapter. And in that reality, in this reality that we're going to learn here today, I want us to understand that we have a work to do. And that work is a work of what will happen once we consecrate ourselves and others begin to see truth lived out. We become the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives. You know, it's amazing. We all know what it means to love God, okay? That means to come to him, to call him Lord. That means to observe and obey and submit to his will, his way, my faith. We know what it means to love others. We go out, we serve other people, we help where we can, we do what we're able, and we love our communities, we love our families. We see the stranger in need, and we take that cup of cold water, we visit the one who is in prison, and on and on and on. And for some of you, It may be sending a birthday card to somebody that you haven't remembered in a long time. It may be simply opening the door at a convenience store for the person who's coming in behind you. It may be. And you get to determine what that maybe is. But it's acting in accordance to what God has taught us, that each and every one of us has that position in life, because this is what's going to come as we read these words. May we be strengthened to understand that we're in this time. From Matthew, we're going to begin in the fourth verse, Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not the end yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come." Blessed be the word of our Lord. The verse there that I really want you to pay attention to is verse 12, and it says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. I want you to think about where we are in our society today. It is a lawless society. We have literally seen where politics has taken everything that was law and turned it on its ear, and they have now politicized, they have made political law, and they are attacking in every way they can, twisting the law in every venue. When we look at the things that have happened in our world over the last 25 years, just, we see that outcome. Many people have told me, "Well, Pastor, you shouldn't be talking about politics, and you know, you shouldn't be talking about cultural things. Stick to spiritual things." Excuse me? If Jesus talked about it, it's spiritual. Who created the governments? God did. So if you want to talk about things that don't belong to God, stop the evil in your own life. And then go and make sure it happens in the world. That's what we're called to do. So if you see a spade, you call it a spade. If you see a diamond, you call it a diamond. If you see a turkey, you call it a turkey. If you see a duck, you call it a duck. Sin is sin is sin is sin. Can I get an amen from the church? And as we walk in this and see that these people, their love, they have no love of humanity anymore. If you don't believe what I believe, you're not worth living. There's no love in these people anymore. You know, they say, "Oh, but we're loving. We accept everybody." Everybody accept the truth. That's the reality. If you stand on the side of darkness, they have no ilk with you because you mean no threat to them. You aren't bringing them anything that is going to harm them. And you need to remember, we need to remember, they need to know that they're already harmed. They're already dead. They just don't know it. It so amazes me how much of our lives is lived because, well, we don't want to offend anybody. Jesus said that the gospel will be an offense. He also said to those who are coming unto life, it will be the fragrance of life. But to those who are perishing, it will be the savor of death. Why do you think they hate us? Because when we come to them and we show them life, what they're actually seeing is their own death. It's realizing they are dead. And rather than fighting the one who has put them there because of his lies, if we could just make them shut up, it'll go away. Consecrate yourselves, because we cannot compromise. We cannot be anything less than what God has called us to be. The Church of Jesus Christ, there are many churches that call themselves that. You know that? How many of those churches are you going to hear a message like this preached out of the pulpit? How many of those churches are going to call sin, sin, and say there is no excuse for it? Whether it's my sin or your sin, I don't care if it's multifaceted in whatever you want to call it. Sin is sin. And we call it out. We call it by name. And it is evil. And we search for the good. We hope that they will come to that place of understanding so that they may not grow cold. You know, it's amazing to me because many churches aren't cold. There are many churches out there that, you know, because cold means to be away from the Lord. How many people come into church? And I'm going to say it right now. I don't know. There may be somebody here today. You came into the church because, you know, hey, it's what you do on Sunday. And you know, let's go in there and we'll see what this is all about and what have you. And all of a sudden you're confronted with a message like this. And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but I'm a good person. No, there's no one good. No, not one. We all fall short of the glory of God. Because the only one who's good is God alone. Jesus told us that. And we know that. That's the truth. And what did we do with good? We killed him. Why do you think they're trying to kill us? Why do you think they're trying to shut us up? Because they don't want to hear that truth. They don't want to smell that fragrance anymore. But the reality is the fragrance is always going to be before them. That's why they have to fight so hard. Because if we can make everybody believe our side of the story, then we'll all be okay. Kumbaya. No. That's why there's so much mental depression in our world today. That's why there's so much anguish in our world today. Because when you are on the side of darkness, it falls. Look at these churches. They're not cold. What are they? Lukewarm. What does it tell us in the book of Revelation when talking about the church of Laodicea? You know, it's worse to be a lukewarm church than it is to be a cold church. Because Jesus says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And how many churches, and this is a reality, and I'm seeing this throughout the land, how many churches that have compromised the gospel, that have walked away from the truth of the word of God, are now in decline? They are losing people. The churches are shutting down. It is happening left and right throughout our nation because they have twisted the word of God. And they are standing in the world, one foot on each side of the fence. And you cannot move somebody who has one foot on both sides of the fence because they think they're already getting in. They don't realize they're lost completely and totally. So they will not move. Oh, but I'm a good person. I go to church. I tithe. I this. I that. You're going to hell. I can't say it any plainer than that, but I can say it louder if you want me to. And may that loudness be from my being, not just my words. Caroline spoke loud and clear to everybody. And we spoke today too. We spoke today too. Turn in your Bibles with me. Last scripture, Joshua 24. Yes, I have to go to the Old Testament. I have to go to the Old Testament. Because this is all the way back at the beginning. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Joshua 24, beginning in the 14th verse. Joshua 24, beginning in the 14th verse. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are beyond the river, or gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight, and preserved us through all the way in which we went, and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. The Lord drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. The people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witness against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and we will obey his voice. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, so that you may not deny your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. Blessed be the word of our Lord. And amen. Today, you and I have done this very thing. I started with this dedication. I ask you willingly, will you serve the Lord? Will you stand? Will you dedicate yourself and this church? Because the church is not a building. We may meet in a building, but the church is us, our souls, our being. And this day you made that dedication. And may this plaque stand as a witness, having heard all these things, and a testimony of a covenant that we have made. And may we be reminded that we have just dedicated ourselves to the glory of God. For we have consecrated ourselves this very day. How many of you knew that's what you were coming to church to do today? How many of you realize that's what you do every Sunday? You come here, and that's why Pastor asked, how many of you realize that's why I do have a wonderful congregation, and yes, they did buy me this t-shirt. But how many of you realize that's why I ask for all the amens I ask for? I need you to come into agreement, not with me, with him. He is life, not this old boy. I'm as screwed up as you are. I just have a different job. And together we'll make it. Can I get an amen? Amen. And he's the one who makes it possible. But we have to consecrate ourselves unto him, or this battle will destroy us. It will make us compromise. It will make us that lukewarm church. But Jesus Christ stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we do that, he has to separate himself from us. Let it be not, let it be not. For this day, as Joshua has said, but as for me my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you say that with me? For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is your house. We are the church consecrated unto the Lord of hosts, that we may speak light into the darkness, truth into lies, and hope into despair. May the battle rage, but may the warriors be prepared. In Jesus' name, pray with me. Father God, more than that plaque, you are the witness. The plaque is simply here to remind us, Lord, of what we've said and who we are. But may we remember, Father, the love that you have shown each and every one of us that draws us here. It's why we consecrate ourselves to you, for you are life. Help us to walk in this truth. Yes, we will be hated by the world, but if we can turn one soul away from death, then it's all worthwhile, because that one life is worth every life that would give itself to it. You've taught us that. May we be the church, and may we be your witness, that we may testify before you in heaven and hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." In Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.